Yeah, but as I was praying this morning, you know, it's like, you know, just God just dropped a thing in my heart about faith. You know, and the word that He dropped in my heart was where Jesus was at the feast. You know, I think it was, in Jerusalem, and you know, and He said, you know, if you hunger and thirst for Me, come to Me, and then He says, if you believe in Me. If you believe in Me. And guys, I don't know, maybe the enemy is trying to steal our faith. Maybe you know, we've become complacent, you know, because without faith we can have nothing. It's three times, or is it four times, that the word says the righteous will live by faith. Guys, we cannot do kingdom life. We cannot live with Him if there's no faith in our hearts. You know, and you know, the easy way doesn't require faith. Who of you knows that? And who of you know that, you know, we prefer the easy way? But in the kingdom, you know, to move forward, we need faith. You know, to receive healing, we need faith. To be in His presence, we need faith. I love that song that we sing, you know, I speak Jesus. Because there's resurrection life, there's resurrection power in the name of Jesus. And guys, I just want to encourage you, you know, maybe if you dropped your faith, you know, just pick it up again. I remember as a young student, I was studying to become a pastor in a traditional church. And then there was this, you know, this AFM family, you know, they drawn me to their meetings. And, you know, their nickname for me was Domini. Domini, jy kan hier op die punt sit, you know, if it becomes too rough, you can run out. I thought, I won't run. But I remember that pastor speaking that evening, you know, he was speaking on the shield, you know, the shield that you know, that's for protection, and he was speaking on the shield of Saul, you know, that was hanging in a pagan temple somewhere, you know, must be the Philistines' pagan temple, because you remember Saul, you know, he took his own life. And I remember that day, that was the evening, he said, you know, is your shield of faith, is it hanging in the temple of the pagans? You know, and maybe just this morning, I think we must just pick up our shields again, our shields of faith. Because the Bible says it will squash out all the fiery darts of the enemy. Well, you know, if we follow Jesus, we're in a battle. If you pray, let His kingdom come, you are already in war. Amen. Can we stand? Can we just do business with God this morning? Say, God, I choose to pick up my shield of faith in the name of Jesus. Father, thank You that we can come to You, God. And God, Your word says it's by faith. Abraham, the father of our faith, God, he Bible says he believed against hope upon hope. God, thank You that we can trust You because You are a faithful God. And God, if we have dropped our shield of faith, we want to pick it up this morning, God. We want to say, God, forgive us. Forgive us that we tried to go the easy way. There's no easy way in the kingdom. There's only a way to trust You. It's the faith way, God. And we trust You. We pick up those shields this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. And we choose this morning to do it Your way, God. Not the easy way, but the God way, which is the best way. And we give You praise, God. We give You glory, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, God, we just stand before You. Thank You that You strengthen us, God. Oh, Here. Yes, the leerstellings. What do you call that in English? Disappointments. Father, I just sense that there have been disappointments that make us doubt You, God. And we just want to come and say, God, We choose to trust you. We choose to run with you, God. We choose to run with you. Thank you, God. Thank you that we can pick up those shields, God, because we know you are faithful. God, your word says somewhere, Romans 8, 9, 10, it says, Hy wat in hom glo, sal nie beskaamd staan. He who believes in him will not be ashamed, God. We trust you, God. We choose this morning to pick up the shield of faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. You know, my mom became a widow when she was 38 years old. I was still in grade 6. My sister in grade 10, I think, and a little brother that was 3 years old. And after 38 years of being a widow, you know, she went to the old age home after it worked, and she met this guy. Oh man, he was like the head boy of the school, the captain of the first rugby team. All the girls liked him. All the aunties liked him. You know, but he was such a great guy, and you know, they were so lucky. They had 6 years together, and you know, and he had this saying. He said, you know, money talks. Mine just says goodbye. So I'm speaking to you this morning on winning with your money. Winning with money. And I just want to give you a few principles. And if you can take this home, I trust God will, you know, will change the way that we see money. You know, Jesus talked more about money than he talked on any other subject. Hello. Okay. So the first thing, so the first principle is generous living enlarges who you are. In Proverbs 11, it says the godly can look forward to a reward. Oh man, I love it. I love it because the Bible teaches us that God is a rewarder. Okay? Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he who goes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's not just seeking him diligently. God is a rewarder. Abraham was looking for a city. Are you still with me? Does your Bible say he was looking for a city? You know? He wasn't just looking for a new country. He was looking for a city. So the godly can look forward to a reward, while the wicked can expect only judgments. God, for the past 2 months, I've been in the book of Proverbs. You know, God speaking to me about wisdom, the fear of the Lord, the righteous, wisdom. Man, you know, every morning when I come from, you know, from my study, you know, then my wife, she's sitting there, she says, "Wat het die Here vir jou gesê?" Talk to me. You know, it's like it's covering about everything in the book of Proverbs. And you know, I just sense, you know, we need wisdom, because Jesus has become for us wisdom. You know, wisdom is how to live God's way. So the godly, who are the godly? And I just describe it in you know, 2 points. The godly put God first in their lives. I love to come to preach here because I love to preach to people who like Jesus and, you know, who love him, who are warm for him. Wat weet waarom vir Jesus is. So, Here, we want to do your thing. So the godly are those who put him first in our lives, and the godly are those who do it God's way. Are you still with me? You know? To talk the talk is easy, guys. To walk the talk. That's where the rubber meets the tar. It's so easy to say, I trust you. Very easy. You know? But when the call comes, Isaac, you know, go to India. God, I don't have money. You're talking to the wrong guy. You know, to go on missions, the first thing that you need is money. Are you still with me? Okay. Knowing that he will supply. He's got your bases covered. He's got your back. He pays for what he orders. Hello? He pays for what he orders. This is a God that we serve because he's a righteous God. You know, when mom says, you know, okay, this is the grocery list, you know, quickly go, pick it up for us, you know, go and get it. And then usually I take Elizabeth with me, you know. She knows that place, man. I can sit in the car, you know. But before she leaves the car, you know, she needs something. God is a righteous God. He puts the cart in your hand. He pays for what he orders. He's not an unjust God. Hello? He will pay for what he orders. He will pay for what he orders. I remember 6 years ago, my son, who is now in heaven, you know, he had some treatment. He need chemotherapy. And God said, you know, we didn't have the medical fund. So God said, I want you to go private. He needed 8 sessions of chemotherapy, costing 52,000 rand a session. God paid for it. Man, I was so afraid when he said, go private. God, I don't have the money. He said, I didn't ask if you don't have the money. I'm asking you, can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you go with me? Can you run with me? Verse 24, I'm reading from the Message. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You know, Jesus, you know, he showed us how to live a generous life. You know, I didn't think his students, I didn't think his disciples paid anything. Maybe I'm wrong. You know. But they ran with him. Jesus is generous. God is a generous. His life is that he is generous. Righteous living is generous living. It is doing life God's way. Either your money belongs to you or you belongs to your money. Hello? Of jy besit geld of jou geld besit you. And if you can give, you know, what breaks the power of materialism in our lives? It is to give. It is to live generous. If God says, let that thing go, man, let it go. I remember quite a long time ago, not so long, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, you know, I was speaking to this guy in my office, you know, we were just having a cup of tea, just talking about stuff, but you know, when you talk, then things come up and you talk about the things you need to talk. But as I was sitting there and he was just sharing about things, you know, financial challenges, you know, and as I was sitting there, God spoke to my heart and he said to me, I want you to give this guy this amount of money. Now, in today's terms, it's about 15,000 rand. what God was speaking to me that about 8 years ago. Man, I was like, okay, but what am I going to tell my wife? You know this? I was, okay, God, because we don't move, there's not unity, you know? God must confirm to me and he must confirm it to her, you know, and then we move in unity because we know this is God. And so I was praying about this. I was praying about this for about 2-3 weeks. I was praying about this thing. And I said, okay, now I'm going to face my wife. She's a good wife. She just asks questions that I'm afraid of. And so I told her, I said, God spoke to me and he said, I must give this person this amount of money. And she was like, who's it? And I told her who the person was. And she said, if God said it, we must do it. What a wife. If God said it, we must do it. And we prayed about it, you know, and we gave the money anonymously. Because the word says, the right hand mustn't know. Okay. So this is just a testimony, you know. But you with me. You know, God will speak to you in times that, you know, it's like, Here, dis nie 'n goeie tyd om met my hierdie ding te praat nie. Are you still with me? It's like, wrong timing, God. His timing is always perfect. He knows what to speak to you at what time. And usually it's like, you know, the car broke down, you know, and that thing happened, you know, and everything that, you know, it's not a good time. But that's God. When he speak, move with him. Stingy living makes your world smaller and smaller. Do I need to talk about that? So guys, be generous. Guys and girls, church, be generous with your compliments. Be generous with your thank yous, with your respect. Okay. Do I need to say something about respect? You know, it's such a beautiful character trait. You know, be generous with your kindness and your care. Be generous with your money and what belongs to you. Anyway, it's not yours, it's his. Be generous with it. And, you know, be generous with your time. Be generous to help people. 25 of Proverbs 11 says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. You know, and you know, this is the word of God. He says, if you bless others, you will be blessed. And he say, if you help others, you will be helped. I remember back in Bible school, you know, Si and Mai. What's that in English? Sow and reap, man. They put that message into us. But it's so true. You know, there's other saying that says you cannot outgive God. You know, if you live in trust, you know, don't. What's that word? Don't tempt him. Don't tempt him. Because that's what the guys in the wilderness did. Can God give us meat to eat? Are you still with me? He gave them so much that about 300,000 of them died that day. Because they tempted God. Can he give us meat? You know, he gave us water, he gave us manna. You know? And they were, you know, they were still here from manna. Manna burgers, manna porridge, you know, manna, you know, you call it manna. Can he give us meat? Don't tempt him. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. That's what Jesus, before he taught his disciples how to pray, he said, if you pray, don't pray like heathen. because you have a Father in heaven who knows exactly what you need. You don't need to pray your needs. Okay. We can go home now. Don't pray your needs. You know, when Jesus started to teach them how to pray, he said, "Our Father who are in heaven." Okay. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done as in heaven or on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. It's nothing to do with Albany or, you know, whichever bread you're buying. It's about your daily manna. And then, forgive. Oh, this thing about forgiveness is so big. It is so big. And then he says, you know, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Keep us safe. Keep us safe. Man, I wrote a book on that prayer, Barefoot in His Presence. It will give you content to pray that prayer. It's not just for, you know, for school children to recite it. It is powerful. It is so powerful. Where is the time? Okay. Kobus, jy moet help hier so. Waar loop die tyd? Okay. And we go to till 11. So be generous. Okay. Then you yourself will be helped. There will be people to lift up your arms when you need it most. And then 24, 25, just listen to it in the Living Bible. It says, it is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man or the generous man shall be rich. By watering others, he waters himself. You know, and that's, you know, that's what Jesus taught us. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, you know, with everything you have. And the second that is equal to this is we must love our neighbors as ourselves. That is called radical love. Radical love. Radical love. And that's what Paul is, if he's writing to so many of the churches, you know, in that letters, he said, you know, I like to see your love for one another. You know, he commends them on their love. And then he also commends them on their faith. See, I like to see your faith. And faith is not for selfish stuff. Faith is for kingdom stuff. We pray that this city will be saved, God. We trust you. For, you know, whoever he lays on your heart, God, I pray for this man's salvation. You still with me? Okay, that is what the Living Bible is telling us. And then verse 28 says, trust in your money, and down you go. Trust in God, and flourish as a tree. Okay. So the question is, who are we trusting? Trusting money will only lead to failure. But trusting God will make us to flourish. I've said it, but let me just repeat it. Giving, living generous, will break the grip of materialism on your life. And it will break the spirit of the world over your life. So live generous. I want to encourage you. Live generous. You know, give, you know, whatever you need to give, your time, your kindness, you know, how you speak to others. You know, at the end of the day, it stops at our pocket. The second principle is contentment will carry you through. Okay, the second one is contentment. So as I was preparing yesterday, you know, I get into the kitchen. I said, okay, ladies, the two of them were there. I said, okay, talk to me about vergenoegdheid. And then the main road in Paul is an old age place called ver genoeg. Hy's ver genoeg. And this Elizabeth was saying, oh, Dad, you want to go to the old age home? Contentment, ver genoegheid. It will carry you through. Now, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 10. It says, Paul is speaking. He says, how grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are helping me again. It was financial help. I know you have always been anxious to send what you could, but for a while you didn't have the chance or opportunity. 11, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned, say with me, learned, how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. So there's stuff that we need to learn. Contentment is the thing that we need to learn. Okay, so it doesn't come naturally. And then it goes on to verse 12. If you can throw that up. I know, Paul says, how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want. So Paul is speaking here about the two extremes. On the one side, want to be in a situation that you have want. Okay, and he says, I've been there many times. And then on the other hand, he's talking about abundance. He said, you know, and I've been there so many times. But contentment is knowing that what you have is enough. Contentment is God guiding me. I don't think I have enough, but guide me in what I have that I will spend it wisely. Okay? And if I have too much, God guide me that I also will spend wisely and use wisely what I have. Because we want the blessing of God on what we have. We don't want the curse of God on what we have. Are you still here? So then Paul goes over to this scripture, which is so many times quoted out of context. In verse 13, he says, for I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power. So even if I don't have, and he says, go, then I go. Even if I don't have, and you know, and he tells me to give, then I give. Because he will find a way to care for me. You know, usually when God asks you to give or to go, he wants to reveal something of himself. He wants to reveal who he is unto us, that we won't lack. You remember Moses? As God was calling him, you know, and Moses had this burning passion in his heart to free the people of God to be slaves from Egypt. And then he said, if they ask, what is your name? How am I going to answer them? And he says, I am that I am. Moses, I will be everything that you need on this journey to do my will, you know, to fulfill your purpose and to obey me. I will give you everything. You won't lack. We must just find that scripture in Romans that says, he who believes in me will not be ashamed. You won't be ashamed. And I just want to encourage you to trust him. The secret of contentment is to know that Christ is enough. He is enough. You know, as Paul is saying, you know, with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power, his strength, you know what, will help me to manage the want and to manage the surplus so that my money can be a blessing. You remember when God spoke to Elijah? 1 Kings chapter 17, he told Elijah, go to the widow in Zarephath, you know, and she will care for you. Arriving on the scene, you know, this woman was suicidal. The spirit of death was working in her. And then he asked, he said, will you bring me, you know, a glass of water, a cup of water? He was tasting her. Because Jesus said, he who brings a prophet a cup of water, are you still with me? Will receive a prophet's reward. What is the reward of a prophet? To see in the spirit. And to touch, which is not touchable. So he was tasting her. And then she went. And as she went, you remember, she said, okay, there's just a little flour in the bin. There's just a little oil in the jar. You remember that? And as she was going to collect the cup of water, he said, but please, bring me a bread first. Okay, we're talking now about faith. You know, this morning I had my time wrong, so I was 10 minutes early, you know, and I put the TV on, and guess what? SABC, and they had this interview with Tatiana Smith. Okay, she was talking about the coach, and they had an interview with this coach, and the coach said, my work is to bring the best out of my athletes. And I believe that is what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. He's bringing the best out of us. You know, when the Holy Spirit tells us, do this, go for that, give that amount, he's challenging us to be the best that we can be. You know, man, I'm a sucker for a challenge. I don't know about you, you know, but that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. You know, and that coach, you know, well, she's won so far three, well, she's finished now. She retired, but she won 3 gold medals. You know, such a humble person. Such a humble person. Okay, so that lady, she went, he said, okay, bring me first, you know. And this lady, she is suicidal. She said, you know, this is going to be, you know, the little flour in the bin, the little oil in the jar. You know, it's going to be my last meal. Me and my sons, our last meal, then we're going to die. And as she was going, he said, bring me first, because God says, what did he say? The flour in the bin will not run dry, and the oil in the jar will not run dry. Can I encourage you? What you think is little is enough. What you think is little is enough. If you put it in his hands, it's enough. How did she know? How did she know that it's going to be enough? Because she went to collect water for the prophet. She could see the invisible. She could touch the intangible. Don't live for yourself. Jesus came, he gave his life. Let's live for those that he put in our care. Okay, the third principle I want to share with you, and we need to finish. The tithe, or the first one, is called a tithe of honor. So guys, when we tithe, it's not a ritual, it's not a rule. It has everything to do with faith, and it has everything to do with honoring this God that we are serving. Okay? We are back in Proverbs. Okay, I didn't know I used Proverbs so much. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my child, remember my teachings and instructions and obey them with all of your heart. Completely. They will help you live a long and prosperous life. Anyone here that's in for a long and prosperous life? Okay. And then verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possessions. That is stewardship. Man, what you have is not yours. It belongs to Him. You're only a steward. You're only a manager managing it for Him. And the good news, if that which belongs to Him broke down, you can say, God, we've got a problem. Your car is broken. God, please send the money so that we can fix your car, God. Are you still with me? You know, because if it's His car, you know, He will provide. He will make a way for you. You know, sometimes people tell me, you know, my car broke. It cost me 20,000 rand. Wow, man. But you know, God is faithful. He's faithful. Okay, so honor the Lord with your possessions. And the second thing, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Stuff that increase what you have. Salary, you know, dividends, what do you call it, Winster? Say again? Profits. You know, it says, give Him the first. What is the first? It is the first one that goes out of your account. Okay? So honor Him. You know, don't pay the bond, you know, and the school, and then you pay. No. Your tithe, no. It must be number one that goes out of your account. It's the one that honors Him. Okay, honor Him. Say, God, this is what you gave me. It belongs to you. It is yours, but I choose to honor you. You can go and read Exodus chapter 13, the principle of the first. Okay, if you want to dig into this. Okay, and then it says, verse 10, he says, so your barns will be filled with plenty. God says, I will provide for you. If you do this, I will provide for you. Man, and you know, my life, me and my wife's life is, you know, a testimony of this. You know, He is a God that provides. And I think so many of you that sits here have this testimony. You know? The other day we said, He never dropped us. Why would He drop us now? His character doesn't change. And it says the second thing that He does, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Can we talk about new wine? Man, I love this. I love this. Man, I was a second year a student, you know, in theology, and I was in a Bible study, and the girl shared about tithing. You know, I was in a traditional church, you know, they don't talk about tithing. But you know, something just stirred in my heart. I said, God, I'm going to do this thing. You know? And it didn't took long, you know. Then I ended up in a church where the Holy Spirit is working. You know? And guys, we want to drink new wine. New wine needs to be poured into. That's our mindset. And our mindsets needs to be renewed all the time. Otherwise, you're sitting here in church and you're thinking, what is this pastor talking about? It doesn't make sense to me. Then your wineskin is not renewed. It's an old wineskin. Get rid of it. How do you get a new wineskin? It's called repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is to continuously upgrade your mindset to align with the will of God. Hello? Say net iemand amen. I like this lady, man. She's, thank you for your support. Okay. Okay. So let's, okay. Then the fourth one, and I think we have got just a few minutes for it. Tithing is an act of righteousness. You remember Jesus, when He came to John, he joined the move of God. He was there to be baptized. He had no sin in His life. So he didn't need to be baptized. And he said to John, John, can you baptize me? And John was like, you know, because he was preaching Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. And John was like, please, I'm the first one. Please baptize me. You must baptize me. Jesus said, no, no, no. Let's do it so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. It was God's will for Jesus to be baptized. And guess what? When he got into the water and he prayed, the heavens opened. I think Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. We love to eat and drink because we fellowship. But he says, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, the first guy who tied was Abraham. Abraham, when you hear Abraham, Abraham is the father of our faith. Are you with me? So this is a faith story. We're gonna end with a faith story. Romans 14, when Abraham, the father of our faith, heard that his relative had been taken captive, he let out his trained men. Men that were trained, born in his house, numbering 318. 318 trained men. Jesus said, I will build my church. So Abraham's taking this army of him, or what do you call it, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He brought back all the possessions and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the woman and the other people. Did Abraham care for Lot? Okay, one is a little bit, you know, convinced. Yeah, for sure. You won't take an army to fight another army to bring back your nephew. I think it was his nephew. So what happened here? Okay, let's just say to one another, okay, this is war. This is spiritual warfare that is happening. Then the very next verse, Abraham had an encounter with God. Okay, went out on a warfare. It says here, verse 18, then Melchizedek, meaning the king of righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. He was king of Salem, king of Shalom, peace, king of righteousness. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And what did he brought out? Who are we talking here about? Jesus. We had the bread and wine this morning. This is Jesus. Go and study Hebrews 7. Go and study Hebrews 7. Become part of the Bible school. Okay? This is Jesus. Abraham have an encounter with Jesus in the Old Testament. Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. The king of Salem. And what did he give Abraham? Bread and wine. Melchizedek was the priest of God Most High. Verse 19, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of God. Never seen such, you know, sentence construction in my life. Blessed be Abraham of God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And what did Abraham do? He gave Melchizedek a tithe of everything. I call it an act of righteousness. Because who is Melchizedek? The king of righteousness. When you give to the king of righteousness, he's got your back. He's got your bases covered. Let's pray together. Hallelujah.